Take your Bible and turn to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 1, and then we'll go to Revelation, chapter 4. Some of you may have seen this before, but it's okay. We sung some of them songs a bunch of times before. And they're still good. Ezekiel. Where'd they move Ezekiel to? Ezekiel chapter 1. And let's look. Here about verse number 4. The book of Ezekiel. If you got a old Schofield reference, it's 840. And that might help you find it there. But Ezekiel chapter 1, look at verse 4. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and the brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof was the color of amber, and out of the midst of fire. Also out of the midst thereof the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. Now, let me skip down. It tells about their feet in verse 7 and so on and so forth. But here's when we get to verse 10. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man. Won't you remember that? The face of a lion on the right side. And they four had the face of an ox on the left side. And they four also had the face of an eagle. So you got a man, you've got a lion, you've got an ox, and you've got the face of an eagle. Four different faces on these creatures. Verse 11 says, thus were their faces. Now, look at Revelation, the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. From one end to the other. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1 talks about the door opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was a trumpet talking to me saying, come up hither. Look at about verse 4. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. They had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a what? And the second was like a what? And the third had the face of a what? And the fourth had was like a what? Well, you got the same thing. You've got a lion. You've got a calf, same ox, calf. Ezekiel said ox. Revelation said calf. The face of a man and the eagle. Now, why? Have you ever thought about why we have 4 Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There are some miracles that are not listed in one. The ascension is not mentioned in this other. Why don't they all portray Jesus the same? Why is there one story left here, another story is not told here, John tells it different, Luke says something else? Why do you have 4 different Gospels talking about the same individual, Jesus Christ? Well, Ezekiel talks about these animals, these things, these creatures around the throne. You've got the 24 elders, you know what they're talking about there. And then, of course, there's all of us singing, holy, 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 and there we go. But then you got the lion, you got the ox or the calf, you got the face of a man, and you got the eagle right there surrounding the throne. And then, there you go, there's another. 4 living creatures right there. The ox, the eagle, the man, and so on and so forth. Why 4 different Gospels about the same man? Well, if you were going to sculpture a person, it would be best to have 4 different shots. You're going to look at them from the front. They don't have a nose on the back. They don't have a mouth on the back. Now, my school teachers had eyes in the back. But on the front, if you just look at the front, you've only got one view of a person. Then you need to turn to the side, look at the side view of a person. Then you need to go behind them and get a full view of that person. If we were going to write a biography about, I don't know, President Reagan or President Roosevelt, whoever, and there were so many aspects about this book, you would say, okay, you take the hunting and fishing, what he liked to do, you write about that section. And you write about the political side, what he liked to do, the political side, what side of the fence he was on, this, that, and the other. And this, you write about the family side of the man, you write about the, and so on and so forth. And everybody writes about that particular part or character of that person. Well, here in the Bible, you have four different accounts of the same person. Matthew gives you one view. You turn around, Luke gives you another. Mark gives you another. And John gives you another one. Four different views about the same person. When you start to looking at some things, let me show you something here. Matthew presents Jesus Christ as King. Well, how many of you know? Well, they ain't supposed to do that. Hang on. How many of you know that the lion? How many of y'all know the lion? What? King. Lion King. And then you have Mark pictures Jesus Christ as a servant. Well, what's an ox? What's a calf? Ezekiel says an ox, and Revelation said a calf. That's a servant. Luke represents Jesus as the Son of Man. Well, you've got the face of a man up there represented in heaven. And then John represents Jesus as the Son of God. That's why you have the eagle. You say, why does the eagle represent the Son of God? A lion is the king of the jungle. The lion can only go as far as his feet can carry him. An eagle can soar way above that, like the Son of God. You see, there's four different pictures of the same character talking about. Think about this. Go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 real quick. Look at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 1. Matthew 1 and verse 1. The book of the generation of who? The son of who? Who was David? King. The son of David, a king. You'll go all through the book of Matthew. Talks about the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The wise men in chapter 2 said, where is he born this day? The King of the Jews. The King. Matthew presents him as the King. Of course, Proverbs 30 says, a lion which is strongest among beasts, and turneth not away for any. The book of Matthew. You ever wondered why? The book of Matthew don't give you the ascension. Don't tell you about the ascension. Wonder why Matthew don't tell us about the ascension. Because the king is not going to ascend. He's going into the millennial and sat down on the throne. He's staying on this earth. So in Matthew, you don't have the ascension mentioned. In Matthew, you have the kingdom parables. Matthew 13 gives you the kingdom parables. Why? Because Matthew talks about the king. All about the king. Well, let's see. What about Mark? Let's go to Mark chapter 1. See what Mark says. Oh, hang on. Hey, hold the phone. Go back to Matthew a minute. I just thought of something. Matthew. The genealogy of Matthew, Matthew gives the birth. Gives you the birth account. Why? Because if you're going to be king, you've got to prove your genealogy. Where did he come from? He come from the son of David, king. There's his kingly line all through the book of Matthew. Well, take look at Luke. Look at Luke. There's another. Look at Luke. This is just Bible study, so, you know, it ain't supposed to be together. Look at Luke. Luke starts out and gives you the birth. But in Luke chapter 3, it starts about verse 23, and it goes all the way down. It gives you the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Not the son, not the kingly line, but I wonder where it goes all the way. He went all the way back to King David. Matthew did, because why? King. Luke chapter 3, all the way down, verse 38. Here's the end of his genealogy, which was the son of Enosh, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of who? Who was Adam? A man. Luke carries his genealogy back to a man. Matthew carries it back to King David. Now, go back to Mark. I don't know if you've ever made it there yet. I think I stopped you before you got there. Mark. Mark chapter 1. Did you know the birth is not mentioned in Mark? Why is the birth not mentioned in Mark? Why would the birth of Jesus Christ not be mentioned in all four Gospels? Well, the front, you got a nose, a mouth, and ears. You turn around the back, it don't have a nose and mouth. So Mark's going to look at him from another viewpoint that don't have some of the stuff that the front view has. Where does Mark start? Mark starts, look about verse number 12. Well, 9. First part talks about John the Baptist and all. Verse 9. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came to Nazareth, was baptized of John and Joel. Starts with the baptism of Jesus. Wonder why Mark starts with the baptism of Jesus. That's when he started his earthly ministry. Because nobody cares where a slave was born. Nobody cares where a servant was born. Mark starts out where an ox starts out, and that's in the field working. You see that? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, four different views of the same person. Look at Mark 6. I'm just hurrying through some of this. Mark 6. They're wondering who this fella is. Verse 3, I'm not reading the whole thing, but verse 3, is not this the... What's a carpenter? A servant. He's a worker. Only place, carpenter. In Mark. Why don't Matthew say something about a carpenter? Because in Matthew, he's a king. Luke, he's the son of man. Mark, he's a servant. That's why he calls him the carpenter. This may not make any sense to you whatsoever, but it's helping me. In Mark, there's no birth, there's no king, there's no wise men, there's no genealogy. Nobody cares where a servant come from. Now look at John. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Let's see where it starts. Say, John's got a genealogy? Yeah, it's got a genealogy in John, sure. Do you know there's no birth mentioned in John? Why? The Son of God has always been. He's never had a birth. Why would John mention a birth when the Son of God's never had a birth? Where did the Son of God start? John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. Is Word capitalized? And the Word was... How far does John go back? You know, Matthew goes back to King David. Luke goes back to Adam. That's pretty far. John goes all past Adam, way on back yonder. Y'all know what back yonder is, don't you? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. That's why. John 1:29, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Now, let me give you something else. One way that you can betray Jesus in the Bible, Jesus is called the branch. The branch. Now, I did this for time's sake. I copied and pasted this from the King James. Why is it doing that? All right, y'all going to have to look real fast. This thing's got a timer on it. I didn't know it. Jesus Christ, the branch. Jeremiah 23:5. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous" what? Branch is capitalized if you look at it in your Bible. Branch. And a what? The branch, Jesus Christ, is king. Okay? That's Matthew. Zechariah 3, verse 8. "Hear now, O Joshua," and so on and so forth. "Thou fellows set before thee, for they are men wondered at, for behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch." Well, whose servant? That's Mark. Zechariah 3, 8. All right, look here. Zechariah 6, 12. "And speak unto him, saying..." Hallelujah. "Behold," the what? Whose name is what? The man? That is Luke. All right, one more. Isaiah 4 and verse 2. "In that day shall the branch of the..." That's God. All caps in your King James Bible, all caps, "Lord," that's Jehovah in the Old Testament, "Lord," branch. The branch was king, that's Matthew. The branch was servant, that was Mark. The branch was man, that's Luke. And the branch was John, and that's God. You say, the branch, what's so big deal about the branch? You remember in 2 Kings chapter 6, where the axe head fell off in the river? Went down to the bottom. This is what they did. They went to a tree, cut off a branch. Now somebody's up there, and I, as soon as church is over, I'm whooping two people up in the sound booth. Monette says just one. All right. Hey, we'll watch that in a minute. Kings chapter 6, they pulled a branch off of a tree, broken, stuck it in the water, and what was on the bottom came to the top. You were on the bottom one day, sinking. "I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more, but to master of the sea, heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me." You're the axe head. Now say, he restored me back to where I was when the axe head got lost. Hallelujah, that's the branch. You say, what's that up there for? Now, I ain't got time to show you, but let me see if it's in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 10. Talks about the Garden of Eden. Running through the Garden of Eden. Now watch this. I'm hurrying. Well, we got a lot to do tonight. Running through the Garden of Eden is one river. Once it leaves the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 2, verse 10, it splits off into four branches. In the Garden of Eden, God in heaven was characterized by one flowing river. But once sin came in and they went on the other side of Eden,
God now has to portray Himself as lion, servant, son of man, son of God, all through the Bible. So you can see Him. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why? Four Gospels. Well, that's why. So you can see what we're talking about. Now, let's move on. Let me do this. Take your Bible, real quick. Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to go to Hebrews and Exodus. You might want to get Hebrews in one. I didn't take time to look at these or put these on the thing for you. I'm glad I didn't now. That thing's acting up on me tonight. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number, let's see. Let's look at verse number 19. Hebrews 10, 19. Is everybody there? Now this is talking about the tabernacle. Look at verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the what? What is the veil? That is to say, His what? His flesh. You know what in the Old Testament? If you wanted to get back there where God was, you had to go through this veil. Y'all see that? Now, this side in the New Testament, if you want to get to where God is, you go through who? Jesus Christ. Old Testament, the veil, which is Jesus Christ. You say, well, what about that veil? It's about 4 inches thick. Now, in Hebrews 10 says that veil, that is to say His flesh. Right? Did I read it wrong? Somebody's asleep. Okay. All right. Look at Exodus 26. Exodus 26. Now, some of you hadn't thumbed through the Bible this much in a long time. Exodus 26 and verse about 31. Exodus 26, verse 31, and thou shalt make a what? A blue, purple, scarlet, fine twine, linen of cunning work, with cherubims shall it be made. And thou shalt hang it upon what? Four, what? Four pillars. You want to see the backside of this? Four pillars that veil is hanging on. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That thing in the Old Testament is hanging on four different pillars. King, an ox, the face of a man, and the eagle. And He's portrayed in the Old Testament as that veil. Well, let me give you this real quick before we go home. You remember in the Bible it says, behold, behold, looky, looky, behold. Well, in the Bible you can run that word. Behold, Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold thy what? King. Isaiah 42:1, behold my. Zechariah 6:12, and speak unto him, saying, let's speak of the Lord of hosts, saying, behold the what? Isaiah 40, verse 9, down at the bottom, behold your... Verse 10 says, behold the Lord God. I mean, does that help anybody? Behold your King, behold your servant, behold the man, behold your God. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, talking about one person. Let me show you one more thing, and we're done. Look at this. Turn to Matthew. Matthew, let's see, the end of Matthew. 28. Matthew 28.
Matthew 28. This is what he tells his disciples. Matthew 28. Verse 19. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have what? You know who commands? A king commands. All right, look at Mark. The end of Mark, chapter 6. Mark is portrayed as a what? Servant. Let's go to the end of Mark and see what he tells them at the end. Now, Matthew commands them. That's king. Mark is a servant. And so, let's look at, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, so on and so forth. Now look at verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto him, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Who does some work? An ox, a servant. Matthew commanded them. That's king. Mark, when he gets ready to leave, working with them. That's a servant. All right, let's go to the end of Luke. Luke 24. Luke 24. Luke portrays Jesus as the Son of Man. Let's see. Verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up. I thought Jesus was God. Why did he have to be carried up if he's God? Why couldn't he just lift his hand and go up himself? He had to be carried up. Why? Luke pictures him as the Son of Man. He lifted his hand. And it was almost like somebody reached down and picked him up. Why? Because Luke, Son of Man. All right, John. Everybody's excited because we're now at the last gospel. John 21. Verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, girdest thyself, and walkest thither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou goest. Wouldest not, excuse me. Verse 19, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify. When he had spoken this, he said unto them, what? When you get to the book of John, this is what God wants you to do. Follow him. Follow God. You read Matthew, he commands you. Do this, commands you. And Mark, he's working with you. He's a servant. And the book of Luke, so on and so forth. And in John, he says, follow me. Why four Gospels? Well, there's a reason why four Gospels. You've got to look at him from all four viewpoints. Amen. All righty. There's some more there. And we'll look at that maybe next Wednesday night, hopefully. The Lord give us help. Man, listen. I wonder, Ezekiel talking about them creatures over there. I wonder if John, when he wrote the book of Revelation,
umpteen years after that, goes, you know what? You know what would be real neat? If we could line this up and get with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and make all this line up to where it points to the lion, the ox. You think he did that? No, God was over him holding that pen. That's why you'll never find another Bible like that. Nobody can put together a book like that. Only God. You say, where did the Bible come from? It came from God. The Muslim Bible don't do that. You can't do a Bible study in the Muslim Bible and it come out like that. Every time, mark her down, it's put together. Why? Because it's God-breathed, inspired Word of God. Amen? Amen? Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. I never have. That would be a good thing to look at. Hey, did you know this? Just thought of it. All four Gospels. There's only one miracle that's mentioned in all four Gospels. Anybody remember what it was? One miracle mentioned in all four Gospels. It's the feeding of the 5,000. You know why? All four Gospels? Because Jesus is the bread of life. All four Gospels. Only miracle that's mentioned. Some miracles will be in one, the other, and this, that, and the other. All four of them mentioned. Feeding of the 5,000. Because he's the bread of life. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. That'll put you on shouting the ground on it. Hallelujah.
God didn't put a book together.
Yeah.
And then Hal messed up, Lord, all capital letters in the Old Testament. The hell. All of them messed it up.
Yeah. And that's a study within itself. It's all caps, all capital letters, Lord, that's Jehovah. If it's a capital L and the rest of them are small letters, that's Elohim, that's the Trinity. And it's a study, man, you wouldn't, that was just a blessing. How that book, that Bible right there is laid out. All right. Tell you what, let's do. Let's, how many of you right now have a prayer request? Let me see that. Prayer request. Somebody on your heart. Are we offline?